With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
We do have a new heart, but we got an old man. Now, because we're converted, we don't live in sin, but we still have sin living in us. And you need to every day put off the old man and put on the new. If I get up in the morning, I'm going to go out, I'm going to put on some clothes. If I don't put off my pajamas, then those clothes are going to be uncomfortable. Well, what's the best way to enjoy the new clothes? Put off the old ones. I'll put off my pajamas. Now I can put on something to use the rest of the day. You got to put off the old and put on the new.
Welcome. And stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us the second half of the message, Changing Clothes as a Christian, Part 1. We continue our study series in Colossians. If you are still wearing polyester jumpsuits, platform shoes, bell-bottom jeans, and tie-dye shirts from the 1970s, it might be a good idea to update your wardrobe. But for the Christian, it is not only a good idea to update your spiritual wardrobe, it is a divine imperative. God's Word urges us, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. We must put away these sinful practices and desires of the old self and put on the new self, that which is created in holiness to reflect the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're focusing on verses 5 through 11. Here again is Harry Reeder with the second half of the message, Changing Clothes as a Christian, Part 1.
Look at verse 6. On account of these things that are listed, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming, and in these you too also once walked when you were living in them. He says, I want you to remember two things. The things I have, that grace called you to put to death, these things, he said, I want you to remember two things. Number one, everything I mentioned to you, every time these things, that sins in thought, word, and deed are done, you need to know something. God's wrath will surely fall upon those who have authored them. Why do I want to engage in, why do I not want to shed what God's wrath will fall upon? Now you say, no, wait just a minute, Harry. I'm saved by grace and there's no condemnation. God's wrath ain't going to fall on me. Well, okay. God's wrath ain't going to fall on you. You're right. There's no condemnation. Right. You are forgiven of all of these sins. So that means we can just live in them, right? No, no. You see, God's condemnation and God's wrath will not fall upon your sins because it has already fallen upon your sins at the cross 2,000 years ago. How can I possibly want to embrace as the clothes of life the very things that sent my Savior to save me from my sins? You're right. God's wrath and condemnation is not going to fall upon my practice of those things at the judgment seat. It has fallen upon those things. The guy said, listen, just come to Jesus so you can just be forgiven. Nobody is just forgiven. You are forgiven because the price was paid for you. And the wrath that was due to us fell upon Jesus. Now, why would I not want to shed the practice of that which he paid the penalty for? Another thing he says in remembrance. These were the things before you were a Christian that you lived in. Now, notice what he's also telling you is this. Before you became a believer, you lived in these things. He said, now you're a Christian. You don't live in them, but you've still got them living in you. The idolatrous heart he cut out, he's given you a new heart. But you still have these things living in you. Therefore, put them to death. Put them under the guillotine. Kill them. One by one by one by one. You once lived in them. Praise God you now live in Christ and Christ lives in you. Now because he lives in you and Christ lives in you and you live in him, now these things that you once lived in, put to death those that still are living in you. Then he says, you know, y'all thought I was at the end of this. I'm not. The list goes on. So let me give you a second list. Look at the second list that he gives. It's an interesting list as well. He gives a second list beginning in verse 8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Now he gives another list of five. This list of five starts with anger. He says, do away with anger. Put to death anger. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Put away anger. Because anger will lead to what? To wrath. Put away wrath. And then anger, put away wrath, because wrath will lead to what? Malice. And then malice will lead to what? Well, anger will lead to wrath. Wrath will lead to malice. And malice will lead to what? Slander. And then slander will lead to what? A mouthful of obscenities. And he says, now let's do away with those as well. By the way, have you noticed the flow here? These lists, they're both built in a way to understand that one leads to the other one. But they're done in opposite directions. In the first list, watch, he started with the acts and then he traced it back to the attitudes, to the heart. See, when he start with the acts, sexual immorality that comes from what? An impure thought life that comes from what? Lustful passions. It comes from what? Evil desires. It comes from what? An idolatrous heart. Now, in this list, he reversed the order. He starts at the attitude and where it ends up in the actions. He said, here's the heart of anger, which will lead to what? Wrath. Haven't you just met people who are just mad? I mean, they're just mad. There's some people that would be mad in a candy shop that you got free candy in. They're just mad. I mean, mad all the time. They're just looking for a cat to kick. I mean, does not matter. They're just mad all the time. Folks, the other week, I got free tickets. A movie theater was showing family movies. It had just opened. I'm not going to give free advertisement, but it just opened in our community. They gave out free tickets. Not only free tickets to see a family movie, free popcorn and free Cokes. It was supposed to start at 7 o'clock. It didn't start till 7:15. And the people in there that were sitting there gratis, free, eating free popcorn, free Cokes, started stomping their feet and clapping because they were late starting the movie. The movie manager comes in and apologizes. But you don't have to look at the preview, so we're really getting started on time. You're not going to see the preview. We'll get started in a few minutes. And some guy in the back, I could not believe it. He stood up and he said, that's enough excuses. How much longer? I could not resist myself. I know I'm your pastor and I gotta be careful. I could not resist myself. He stands, I mean, here's a man, he's in there free, eating free popcorn, drinking a free Coke to see a good movie, and it's all free. And he says, how much longer? I couldn't resist myself. I said, how much did you pay for that seat? I embarrass myself and him and everybody else. I mean, folks, people, they're angry. Therefore, they're full of wrath. And the wrath will vent itself with malice and maliciousness. And then the malice and maliciousness will even go to slander. We will destroy people with our lips and our tongue. And then it'll get all the way to obscenities. And I realize just almost how ridiculous is my plea from this text. Get rid of the anger, which leads to wrath, which leads to malice, which leads to slander, which leads to obscenities, because we've become used to obscenities. It's become part of our language. The culture is dumb. We can't even blush at a four-letter word. We sit and listen and watch to things one time we would have never, and now it's just a course of life. Now, you know, I'm just as guilty as you, so I repent before you. I repent of it. But the obscenities of the mouth come from what? Slander, which comes from what? Malice, which comes from what? Wrath, which comes from what? Anger. See, now in this list, instead of going from the act to the heart and the attitude, it starts with the attitude and it shows you the acts. So if I want to get rid of obscenities, what do I need to get rid of? Slander. If I want to get rid of slander, what do I need to get rid of? Malice. If I want to get rid of malice, what do I need to get rid of? Wrath. If I want to get rid of wrath, what do I need to get rid of? Anger. And let the love of Christ constrain me. Instead of anger, drive me. Well, what is the result of this? I just jot these down. The result, look at the last two verses. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here then is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. What is the results when we begin to put off the old man, put on the new man, get rid of the obscenity of the culture, and begin to embrace the language of grace in our mouth and our lives? Well, here's some things that happen. I jotted down five things that'll happen. One is we'll have a security in the congregation. We'll look at each other and know people aren't out there taking our reputation by their tongue. We don't lie to one another. The lies of evil are not upon our lips. And it's the Church of Colossae and Briarwood would be not only a secure place where our reputations are secure in the lips of our brothers and sisters, but secondly, it's a place where people are growing on the journey of grace. They're not only putting off, they're putting on. And as they're putting off, they're putting on. Isn't it great to see that they're changing clothes, worldliness to godliness? We're on the, instead of the death spiral of sin, do you see those two lists? The death spiral of sin. We're now on an upward journey of grace. Putting off and putting on. Putting off and putting on. Back in Charlotte, I'm not a clothes horse, but I would like a new suit every once in a while. And I always waited for a sale, and I always loved to negotiate. Now, I just love to negotiate. I do not like to pay. Even there's this one men's store. They'd have 50% off once a year, but I still want to negotiate. Now, my wife does not like it when I negotiate. She's with me as long as I'm looking for the suit. Once I go into the negotiation, she goes to the other side of the store. She says, honey, you just embarrass me. And she doesn't like the negotiation part. I love to negotiate. I just think it's a great American thing that you need to negotiate for the price. But I love this store because they not only had 50% off, you negotiate, but once a year you could bring an old suit in, they'd give you $100 for the old suit. Once a year you come in, bring the old suit, turn it in, get $100, and you get a new suit, 50% off or whatever else you could work from them. But you see, what God's telling you is by grace, you don't have to wait once a year. Every day, you can put off the old suit that's already paid for and put on the new suit that's already, you don't even have to negotiate the price. This one's paid for. The old suit you can take off, put off in order to put on. And we're on a journey of grace day by day. So it's a growing church. It's a secure church. A third thing about the church that he says is a result. It's a learning church. You got a new heart, but you have a new heart and you have a renewing mind. Look what it says. Renewed in your mind in the knowledge after the image of its creator. You're growing the Christian life. You have to learn who you are in Christ and how to serve Christ. It's a transformed mind that's learning. And there, look at the diversity. Look at at the diversity. There's Scythians, they're Greek, they're Jew, they're barbarians, they're sophisticated, they're rich, they're poor, they're slave, they're free, they're powerful, they're oppressed. All kinds of people make up this church. But the diversity is absorbed into unity, because no matter whether they're Scythian, Jew, free, Gentile, no matter what they are, where they're from, it's Christ. Christ is all and in all. The preeminence and sufficiency of Christ in a congregation that's secure and growing and learning and enjoying its diversity. Well, here, very quickly, here's three practical suggestions. First of all, as you look at this text, practical Christianity, single lesson. Here's one lesson of practical Christianity. Now, folks, listen, please listen. Everything in your salvation is totally a gift of God and done completely by God for you, except for one element of your salvation. It also is a gift of God, but God calls you into the battle. It's called sanctification. He gave you a new heart by His own power. He gave you a new record. You're justified. He gave you a new family. He adopted you. He's given you a new home. He'll glorify you. But in sanctification, you are utterly dependent upon the power of grace, but you are unalterably called to be intentional about growing in grace. Now, we're not talking about meriting grace. We're talking about means of grace. So, do you rest in His grace and power? Let go, let God, and rest in Him? Yes. But it's not a rest of inactivity. It's a rest of intentionality. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. Not in your own power. You rest in the power of grace. But you are disciplined by grace. The discipline of grace comes with dependency upon grace. So, you're dependent and you're devoted. You are utterly dependent and you're utterly diligent. It's 100% God and 100% you in the commitment to sanctification. Put under the guillotine not only the practices, yourself, die to self daily and live unto Christ. The second thing I want you to see is the death spiral. Notice what it says. Actions come from what? Attitudes. Therefore, to deal ultimately with the actions, I need to deal with my heart. To get rid of obscenity, I want to get all the way to cleaning out anger. Because the anger leads to wrath, and that leads to malice, and that leads... So I want to get all the way back to cleaning out my heart. And then, by the way, sexual immorality, do I have issues with porneia? Do I have issues with wrong thoughts? Do I have issues with passions that would dominate me to perversion and promiscuity? Do I have issues with my appetites out of control and evil desires? Then where do I go? I go back to the heart, and that's where God delights to work within you, within the heart. And then when He works within the heart, by the way, it's not only that this list is put off, a new list is put on. Can I give you a great study? I don't have time for it. Go into these two lists and reverse them. Instead of anger, what? Love. Which will lead not to, no longer malice, it'll lead to benevolence. You see, I get rid of the anger and the love of Christ controls me. Now instead of malice, I got benevolence. And now that I've got benevolence, instead of slander, I speak good things to people, the right words at the right time. And instead of obscenities, I have vocabulary of grace. Well-chosen words, the Bible says, are like apples in a setting of silver. Golden apples in a setting of silver. If I start with my heart and say, I don't want covetousness, I want contentment in Christ, then contentment would do away with evil desires. And evil desires would do away with lustful passions. And now moderation instead of intemperance in your life. And that does away with impure thoughts, and your thoughts begin to be upon what is good and excellent. And then that does away with sexual immorality, but instead chastity and purity. The list is not simply put off, it's replaced with the list of grace and the fruit of grace. Thirdly and finally, practical Christianity lesson, 100% you, 100% dependence upon God, 100% discipline and devotion, 100% dependence. Death spiral is replaced by the journey of grace upward. A new list is put in place of the old list with the renewed mind. Here's one other thing. All of this comes down, I think, to one lesson. It is the preeminence of Christ. Christ is all and in all. I was in Korea. They showed us a park. They were so proud. This park used to be marshland and swamp. And in high tide, it was just covered with water. Now, it's a beautiful park. They said, let me tell you what we did, Pastor. We drained out the marshland. And then we brought in the filled dirt. And now, there's a park instead of a swamp. Could not help but think, wow, is that not the Christian life? By grace, drain the swamp. The swamp of sin, drain it out. But now, folks, if you just drain the swamp and don't fill it in, high tide's going to come and the swamp's going to come back worse. Drain the swamp and then fill it in with what? Christ. And that will lead to the beautiful park that flowers with the fruit of the Spirit and grace. Drain the swamp. Flee temptation. Fill the drain with Christ. Christ is all. Christ in all. I was reading the account of the diary of a missionary. He had spent his whole life serving the Lord. He'd left home, family, he and his wife were gone for decades. Became ill. Returned home. He became ill and returned home, and his illness came to the point of a final hospitalization. Because he had been all his life overseas, he had no home church, no pastor. His daughter, concerned for her dad, called her pastor and said, Pastor, would you please take a moment and visit my dad in the hospital? He's not a member of our church, but he served the Lord his whole life. He's now here, just needs someone to visit him. Would you do that? The pastor said, it would be my privilege. And he went to the hospital, opened the scriptures, had prayer with the missionary. The missionary shared with him his life and his ministry. He could see he was in deep pain, and he was really coming to the end of his life. Even his breaths, he said, were labored. He finished the time with him, and he got up to leave, and he said, now I'll be back as soon as I can. But when he got up to leave, he looked across, and across from the bed, there was a chair that normally would be up against the wall. It had been pulled out next to the bed. He said, here, let me put this chair back for you. And the missionary said, no. He said, Pastor, would you please leave that chair there? He said, my whole life, I had to leave everything because of the Lord's call. And we left everything, my wife and I, but we found out that Jesus is enough. Jesus is our all. And one of the ways I reminded myself of that is that every morning when I would get up from my quiet time in the Lord, I would always pull out a chair, and I'd put the chair in front of me during my quiet time, so that as I looked at the chair, I would remind myself, the Lord is with me, and He is enough. He is my all in all. Pastor, I'm at the end of my life, and I don't need that chair out to remind me of Christ's presence just in the morning. I need it all the time. I'm about to meet Him, and I know He's going to carry me into glory. So just leave the chair there. The pastor left the chair, and he walked away blessed, but the greatest blessing for that pastor was yet to come. The pastor went home, fully intending to go back and see the missionary, try to get back before he died. But he didn't make it. The next day he got a phone call from the daughter. Pastor, I want to thank you for visiting my dad. He said, listen, your dad gave me much more blessing than I gave him. Well, Pastor, thank you for going. He said, by the way, I'm going to try to get back and see if she said, well, you don't need to. That's why I'm calling. My dad died last night. We left him. We went home. The next morning they called us and said when they went in the morning, he was dead. He's now with the Lord, Pastor. Thank you for going to see him. Well, let me tell you again, he said, I got much more than he ever got from me. What a blessing just to be with him. And then he said, you know, I prayed if I didn't get back and he went on to be with the Lord that his death would be easy and peaceful. She said, Pastor, I think the Lord answered your prayer. But Pastor, I just wanted to tell you something. I am so grateful you went. And he said, well, I am too. She said, now, we think he went peacefully. The nurse came in and found him dead. But there was something odd, she said. When she came in, he didn't die in the bed. He died on his knees with his face on a chair, fixed on Jesus. Basically, you're going to die the way you live. Live. Christ is all. Live. Christ in all. And watch the clothes of the world as you put them off decay. And the clothes of glorious grace draw others to your Savior.
The people of God must update our spiritual wardrobe by putting away the sinful practices and desires of the old self and putting on the new self, that which is created in holiness to reflect the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Join us again next time as we continue our series from Colossians, Christ is all and in all. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Changing Clothes as a Christian Part 1, or simply ask for message number 9362. Again, that's message number 9362. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD that includes shipping and handling when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. If you enjoy and benefit from the Bible teaching of Pastor Harry Reeder, we would like to introduce you to Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread is a 5-minute audio verse-by-verse daily devotional taught by Harry. You can access Fresh Bread through the Briarwood app. Simply go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. Along with Fresh Bread, you'll have access to other audio, video, and written resources that will challenge your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write to us and let us know if In Perspective is making a difference in your life. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.